Tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
But he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bog down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say? I don't want nobody calling me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So out of the way.
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and they can get the pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Friday, January 24th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and it's a pleasure to be your host for today. Today I'm privileged to have the High Commissioner to the Republic of Ghana, also the Ambassador Designate to Togo. Is Togo a Republic, Ambassador? Okay, put that mic a little closer to you, to the Republic of Togo, two African states. And we're excited because our government has made overtures and making much effort to have connection to the motherland. And one of the connections they're doing is making sure that we have representatives, delegates to represent the Bahamas and push the Bahamas agenda and create trade opportunities for Bahamians and trade opportunities for people on the African continent. Again, like I said, we have the ambassador designate and the High Commissioner to the Republic of Ghana. Before we start, just for an educational purposes for my listening audience, what's the difference between an ambassador and a high commission?
My understanding is that Ghana, being a part of the Commonwealth, it makes one a high commissioner. So for Commonwealth countries, we have high commissioners, and for non-Commonwealth countries, we would have high commissioners.
Yeah, ambassador. Okay. Ambassador.
For Commonwealth countries, we would have high commissioner. Hence, high commissioner to London, mm-hmm. ambassadors to Washington, D.C., etc.
I understand. Yeah. I just wanted to go there. And also, you've been high commissioner for like two years now?
Yes. How long? Three years now. Yes.
Yes. And how is that journey? Being, because I know this is a new startup, right, that the government has joined on as we try to have a better connection to the African continent. How is starting a new high commission there? And are you, I know you're not resident.
I am non-resident, but I traveled to Ghana quite frequently. Last year, I would have been there 7 times, the year before, 11 times. Some of those trips would have been in a private capacity. The majority of those trips would have been in my private capacity as an entrepreneur.
Okay. And you mentioned non-resident and resident, right? Can you explain to the listening audience the difference? I mean, it's obvious. Non-resident Correct. Means you're not there. But I mean, what is the difference in terms of
non-residents mean that you do not reside in the country that you represent. That happens for a variety of reasons. Amongst them, I'm sure, is budgetary constraints. Resident is where the total infrastructure is in place. You reside in the country, you have office in the country, etc.
And the Bahamian people are aware that with a High Commissioner, they have staff and support. Yes, and
exactly.
And carry Bahamian business. Non-resident, how does that work? Do you have staff here? Do you have like an office here? How does that work?
All right. So I have my private staff in Ghana. One of my first projects in Ghana, in my private capacity as an entrepreneur, was the establishment of the Afri Bahamas Trade Mission that's located in Ashali Boatway in MNJ Square. The purpose of that trade mission is to create and facilitate opportunities between the Bahamas and Ghana. Mm-hmm. Again, in a private capacity, a project that I hold very close to my heart is that of entrepreneurial development, the development of entrepreneurs. I am convinced, upon reflecting on my own journey in life, that the greatest opportunity for our development as a people is through entrepreneurship. And so here in the Bahamas, where we have a very dynamic economy, I think we welcomed close to 12 million visitors last year. When you go into the marketplace downtown, a lot of the opportunities that emanates from this dynamic economy ends up supporting the children of China, India, and almost everywhere else except the Bahamas. And I say that in reflecting the extent that our retail sector downtown are dominated, and the products that's in our stores downtown are dominated by products from these other countries.
We are resellers.
Yes, resellers.
We import things and resell.
We and in large part, we're not even doing the importing. In large part, we're not even doing the importing. We have other people coming in and really blossoming off the opportunity from our tourism sector. And so with the Ghana-Bahamas connection, there are tremendous opportunities for Bahamian entrepreneurs to get involved and bring unique products here into the marketplace that benefits not only our local businesses, but also the children of our ancestors that still reside in our motherland.
Yes, okay. Getting some notes. So you were basically selected by our government, right? Selected by our government because of your entrepreneurial business that you had in Ghana already, right? And as you were performing that, you were selected and our government saw opportunities for the Bahamas. And now you are the head person that, as the High Commissioner, what is it that you do as that role,
all right,
that promotes the Bahamas or promotes entrepreneurial opportunities for Bahamians?
All right, so one of the first events that I facilitated here was at the University of the Bahamas. We had the first ever Ghana Bahamas Business Forum.
I remember that.
In, I think that would have been 2022. Mm-hmm. 2022? Yes, in 2022, where we had some of the ministers from Ghana, Ghana Investment Promotion Council, Ghana Export Promotion Council, et cetera, and some private entrepreneurs traveled to the Bahamas to begin that building of relationship. Mm-hmm. one of the most, a very significant, then the visa waiver agreement that exists between Ghana and the Bahamas.
So that came as a result of all of this?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes. So now Bahamians no longer need a visa to visit Ghana, and Ghanaians no longer need a visa to visit the Bahamas. And I can tell you firsthand from the many inquiries we have that Bahamians traveling to Ghana is surging. Mm-hmm. Hundreds, I would even venture to say thousands of Bahamians are now traveling to Ghana every year.
I assume it's because of the Great Return. Ghana had a great tourism product where they said the Great Return, a number of people of color, descendants of Africa, and people in the diaspora, all returned to Ghana, and Ghana capitalized on that.
That's
right.
And
you're saying that Bahamians also took advantage of that?
Yes, in large numbers. In large numbers, Bahamians are going to Ghana. As you referred to the year of return, which was a fantastic marketing initiative undertaken by Ghana. I think it was in 2019. Mm. When they invited persons of African descent to come and visit their homeland. And Ghana is one of those places you cannot visit once. I challenge anyone in our listening audience to visit Ghana and not return. It's an amazing place. It's a beautiful place. They have so many opportunities to offer. And so Ghana now, for the first time, is beginning to take opportunities in the tourism sector very seriously and prioritizing it. Ghana, I think, in last year would have gotten about 1.2 million visitors. Wow. And when you think about it, that's a very small number for such a huge country that have so much to offer. And so certainly Bahamians in the hospitality space, there are tremendous opportunities in Ghana. One of my most memorable experiences in Ghana was canoeing the River Volta, getting in a canoe and riding the world-famous River Volta. That is something that has not yet developed from a touristic perspective. By that, I mean there's a couple of muscular kids on the river with a canoe, and they take you out for a ride, and you give them a tip, versus it being a product similar to what we offer here.
Various tours.
So there are opportunities in that field, in the area of transportation.
When you say opportunities, you're saying there are opportunities for Bahamians to go into, to invest in Ghana and develop that?
Oh, most certainly. Most certainly, yes. I encourage Bahamians to go to Ghana, develop relationships with African entrepreneurs, and for their mutual benefit and development. Almost everybody in Ghana has a business, a micro business, a small business. And that is because, in large part, as a result of the fluctuation in currency, it's very difficult for them to make ends meet with the salaries that they would earn in working in a hotel, for instance. Mm-hmm. Hotel worker, which is one of the best job opportunities that we have here in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. A hotel worker in Ghana at a top hotel earns, for instance, on average, 1,000 to 1,200 CDs per month. 1,200 CDs is the equivalent of $80.
$80 a month?
$80. But now, putting it in perspective, a mother, a maid in the hotel in Ghana can feed her children off that 1,200 CDs in our currency, $80 per month, at the same level that a maid in a hotel in the Bahamas earning $1,200 can feed their family. I don't know if that makes sense to you.
No, I understand. Purchasing power.
Purchasing power, yes. And what you buy. And what you buy. You're not going to be able to go into a Starbucks in Ghana with that type of revenue. But, you know, I would often see people going into Starbucks with their kids in the morning and spending $30, $40 to buy drinks. And that's the equivalent of 2 weeks' salary.
The IMF recently did a report on the Bahamas suggesting that the ease of doing business or the ease of opening a business here in the Bahamas, particularly opening bank accounts for foreign investors, tends to be a challenge. You are talking about opportunities in Ghana and say we behemoths can go there and invest. How is the ease of opening a business? How is it? How easy is it for me to take my $5,000, my $10,000, and invest in a small micro Ghanaian business and say, well, I want to partner with you? How hard is that?
So, you know, when we speak of partnerships, we're talking about relationships. The type of projects that I would have done in Ghana, for instance, working with micro entrepreneurs, is that I say to that fashion, talented fashion designer, many of them now operate with the hand turning sewing machines that the local tailors here used back in the 60s. And so there are instances where I've provided talented fashion designers with a modern sewing machine. And having done that, then now they're able to produce products that I can buy for it. Purchasing products from local entrepreneurs in Ghana and bringing it here to Nassau to sell in my stores here. So the approach that you take, I would not recommend to anybody that you just go there and you turn over your $5,000 to Kwaku and say, all right, we're in business now. But that does not dismiss the opportunities that exist. I'll give you a good example. In Ghana, I saw in the newspaper today, you're talking about charcoal. There's a story about the charcoal and the desert. Yes. All right. And you look at the price of charcoals in our gas stations and in the food store. Container loads of charcoals can be had in Ghana for pennies. As compared to locally.
Despite the distance and shipping and whatever it is, you're saying that it could be economical for behemoths?
Right now, we're shipping from South Africa into the Bahamas. We're shipping from China into the Bahamas. Africa is right across the Atlantic Ocean.
All right, so with that, right, we're shipping from China. My expectation as a consumer is that I would see prices that would reflect that this was produced in China, right? But by the time it gets here and I find it in a store, sometimes it is 5, 6, 7 times more than what it would cost for me to purchase it, right? Just the purchase price. 6, 7, 8 times more than it would cost for me to purchase it. That
Purchase it where?
Online.
Online.
Right. That wholesale is probably buying in bulk when I'm buying as an individual consumer, right? So my question is, we add Africa as another trade route. What mechanisms do we need to ensure that we realize that initial benefit of costs from Africa? Like, what do we need to do to minimize, or what mechanisms do we need to place to ensure that the shipping costs don't outweigh or negate that great source price on the continent?
All right. So, first cost is only one of the components mm-hmm. in cost. Mm-hmm. You have first cost, you have shipping, mm-hmm. you have duty, you have VAT on duty plus first cost. And then depending on the environment and the space that you're operating in, if you're selling it on the sides of the street, that's one cost. But if you're selling it in a store, in a formal business, with all of the
accoutrements,
the overhead of a regular brick and mortar business, those added costs far outweigh the initial cost of the product. Mm-hmm. The reality of the situation is that as an entrepreneur, if I'm this phone case for $1, and instead of selling it for my first cost at $1, and instead of selling it at $10, I choose to sell it for $25, what I have done is I have opened up with that extra $15, $17, a huge opportunity that some other entrepreneur will step in
and say, let me
buy it at
price.
$1. And hey, and we see it now every day, because even across social media, people are selling products at tremendous savings over what can be purchased in the store.
We've had behemoths come on our show who have a business of going to China. It's like a tour, right? And they take behemoths to China and they assumably introduce them to various people and give them opportunities and they invest. Is there something that exists similar for Ghana that the government of the Bahamas has some kind of mechanism or protection for behemoths to say, well, I know you want to be an investor. We're doing a tour. You come with us when we're doing this trade show, whatever it is, and we're going to fly to Ghana, and we take you around to these people, and then you take advantage of the various opportunities.
All right. So there has been one group from throughout the Caribbean that went to Ghana, along with Minister Ginger Moxie, looking at opportunities. But quite honestly, while I personally have a passion for promoting entrepreneurship, business opportunity amongst us as a people, that is not a governmental function in my view. That is the essence of what being an entrepreneur is. Mm-hmm. Looking at the situation and saying that, all right, so these big wholesalers are already monopolizing X, Y, Z. So I have to go and I have to look elsewhere. Mm-hmm. I too go to China. I go to China mm-hmm. several times a year to do business. But it's not for the government to take me to China. Yes, through the Chamber of Commerce and through information that comes into the country, the government can share these opportunities. And I think there should be and there is an attachment to the Bahamas embassy in Beijing that facilitates and promote trade. But it is for us individually to... So I get a lot of calls from people. I want to do business in Ghana. How do I get started? And what I say to them is, the first step is to go to Ghana. Back of your mind, you're an entrepreneur, you're aspiring to do business, but go to Ghana, walk the ground, look around, and like the place. If you like the place and you want to return, then it will flow. I first went to Ghana in 2007 at the for the 50th anniversary of Ghana's independence. And I was amazed. You look down on the ground, you see opportunity. As you're getting up, you see opportunities are all around. One example is that in Ghana, there's a lot of cry about wastage because of the lack of refrigeration. So a lot of the plantains, the bananas, the pineapples, the mangoes are falling to the earth and just rotting. Tons and tons of it. But when we walk into gourmet food stores, we see organic, sun-dried mangoes, bananas, tomatoes, etc., on the shelf selling for a premium. So, based on our experience in the diaspora, we will go to Ghana and see opportunities that the locals who have not traveled have not seen. Another point I'd like to make, I'd like to talk about China. China is a country I admired tremendously. As a child, China was a poor country. Mm. We did not want to go to school in shoes made in China because people would look down on you with your made in China shoes. The shoes had to be made in England. Mm-hmm. Look at China today. And China, the diaspora, as I consider us to be of the African diaspora, the diaspora played a role in the rise of China, in bringing China products to the world, and the diaspora got wealthy as a result of it. Look at the success that's being enjoyed by the China diaspora here in the Bahamas and around the world as a result of doing business with China. We in the Bahamas have the opportunity to do the same. We can be the gateway for trade with Africa. Why are the cocoa producers' products being sold to the manufacturers of chocolates and canned chocolates in America through the London Commodity Exchange, but we don't have a commodity exchange here in the Bahamas to...
Because cultural imperialism is a wonderful thing. The point you made about shoes, us, when you were younger, the idea of China, you don't want nothing from China, is cheap. Do people realize now that the same shoes that they chose, as opposed to a Chinese-made shoe, is now being produced in China?
Oh, then,
and to what extent is cultural imperialism and the merchant class, the merchant culture emanating from the merchant class, the biggest barrier to expanding trade routes?
All right, so there will always be barriers.
Yeah.
There are barriers. Barriers exist. I, as an entrepreneur, not to focus on the barrier, but to focus on the opportunity. When I started as an entrepreneur, I could have a shop. And so I sold on the side. I became a street vendor. Accumulate my resources until I was able to get a shop. when I returned home in 1980 and started looking to rent a store, I still could not afford a shop. But at the time that I got a shop large enough that I could subdivide and sublet a part so I could get a space.
Other revenue-generating mechanisms.
My hero is Marcus Garvey. And Marcus Garvey always said, drop your bucket where you stand. Right. Do what you can with what you have.
That's the barrier for the vendor, right? For the entrepreneur. What about the barrier that exists in the consumer's mind, right? Because one of the reasons why counterfeiting works, right, is because you want that shoe, that high-end Global North shoe. You didn't even realize it was created in China, the place that you shun.
You don't care.
Well, you didn't know. No, plenty. See, that's the point. Plenty people care. Now, time is passing, right? So I'm 48. I'll say when I was younger as well, people cared. Mm-hmm. They cared greatly. I remember Sweetwaters. I remember my Jordans, the first pair of Jordans I ever had being stolen mm-hmm. in school from a classroom, right? By a fellow classmate. But the idea that, man, bring your design to China. While they putting the Clarks label on it over there, I can be putting the same Clarks label on it from this factory over here. Is, in your experience, how has it been shifting the mind of the consumer to understand what it is okay. you're doing?
So, I do not have the change people value system, right? What I do on my part is I ask persons that I encounter to think of, you know, we often reflect on the position of the people of African descent on the socioeconomic ladder of the world, which is at the very bottom.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm going to Ghana, the Ghanaians I see traveling home there, decked out in their Gucci outfits and their Gucci bags, etc. But think of the economic opportunity and what it can do for us as a people when we take pride in wearing our own symbols and products and clothing made for us. The Jews, I am told, a dollar circulates in the Jewish environment about 15 times before it leaves their environment. Amongst our people, the dollar goes in, out, in, out. In order to create wealth, we need to ensure that the revenue that comes into our possession circulates among our people and empower our people before leaving our community.
Technically, Bahamians tend not to travel far. And when I say not to travel far, they travel to familiar areas where they have common cultural bonds. They want some place that speaks English, that shares the same culture in order to do trade and business with. Is there any cultural barriers for me to travel to Ghana and say, boy, I can't communicate with these people. These people are just different.
Did Britannia rule the world? Mm. Well, amongst the many of the countries that Britannia ruled in the world were in Africa, Ghana being one of them. All right? We are the majority of Bahamians came through Ghana. Our ancestors came through Ghana. When you are in Ghana, you see the same people you see in Nassau every day. When I'm in Ghana, I'm often confused. People mistake me for people that they knew. Just recently, I was waiting on my bag at the turnstile, and a gentleman came up to me, and he said, you know, and I said, no, I'm sorry. He said, you know, and mm-hmm. you have me mistaken for someone, you know? Mm-hmm. And he went back and he keep turning back as if I was questioning whether I was dissing him or whatever. Because he said he went to school with me now. And so I went over and I asked the gentleman, I said, how old are you? And he and I were the same age. Mm-hmm. And so my first trip to Ghana, I'm in the market in Kumasi. And the market lady speaks to me in Twi. And I said, sorry, I don't understand. And so she switched to another language. They're multilingual. And then so she came, so she asked me, where are you from? I said, the Bahamas. Bahamas? What is Bahamas? Where's Bahamas? I said, 400 years ago, I went through the gate of no return, but the devil is a liar because I came back. And the marketplace broke out into this dance. The devil is a liar. He came back, etc. But saying all of that to say, in home, you are very safe.
Can you speak English?
I go walking on the streets in Ghana at night. Quite honestly, in Nassau, once I've locked my gate and I'm in my house, I don't want to go driving at night. But in Ghana, I feel very comfortable going for a walk at night.
So we can culturally assimilate and be comfortable in terms of
we are the same people. We are the same people, and when you get there and you walk out of that, you see the same people you see in Nassau every day.
Now listen, as a woman, will I be as safe? Because just the other day, the boy say, "Green, you're still miserable. You ain't ready to get married yet. Somebody could try kidnap me and marry me." And I mean it seriously, right? Like it's tongue in cheek, but. Culturally, coming from the West, will us westernized, feminized, feminism women, how will we fare over there?
They're not. When you are amongst 40 million people.
They ain't worried about you that much.
They don't see no difference between you. Right here in the Bahamas, we have Nigerians and Ghanaians walking through the community, and nobody knows that they are Nigerians Ghanaians.
I was in Cuba. I had the community kiosk for my phone card because the hotel is five times more. Mm. And I watching people cut the line, and I say, okay, you just got to observe the culture. I was on the line for an hour. Mm-hmm. And I must have cut my eye at somebody who was cutting the line. And a woman turned to me, and she smiled. Right? And she say, where are you from? And I said, the Bahamas. Right? And she said, you look like us, but you don't dress like us. And that's how I knew you weren't Cuban.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Anderson.
Yeah. But that one, you know, that's in terms of when you said, come there first and feel like you like it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, because also a lot of our cultural attitudes feed our consumer attitudes, right? Of what we make, what we purchase, what we consume. They really just like us?
Just like us. Just like us. We just don't have the Starbucks. But I'm sure there's one or two Starbucks in Ghana. Mm-hmm. I haven't
seen one. But the proliferation, yeah.
Yeah, but you don't have the proliferation of Starbucks, Burger King, etc. Although they do exist. They're there. But not in large
They're not
numbers.
A dominant part of the culture.
Not as yet.
Bahamians are now venturing out around the world to seek educational opportunities. Right, we in China, we in Brazil, we in South America, we in all over Europe, France, Germany, of course the United States.
Australia.
You know, as far as Australia doing law or whatever it is. Is there opportunity for Bahamians to say, you know what, Ghana speaks English?
Mm-hmm.
I know they're ranked as, have some of the best universities
in the world.
Right?
The University of Ghana.
Can I go with my $1,000 to Egerton for my education there and take advantage? Is that possible?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we've concluded two MOUs between the University of the Bahamas and the University of Ghana. I would invite your listening audience to Google the University of Ghana, one of the most respected universities in the world.
Second question. Well, go on.
So the cost of an education in Ghana is less than what we get high school here in the Bahamas. The cost of living, as I alluded earlier, that hotel maid that makes 1,200 CDs per month and that can feed their children. Persons who could not normally afford to send their children to university in the United States or Europe can send them to university in Ghana.
Mm-hmm. Now, so we like them, they like us, culturally, culinarily, right? That's where mm-hmm. our steamed tomato-based dishes come mm-hmm. from. We on this, almost, in terms of weather and climate, we good.
Same.
The university, English speaking, even from a trade perspective now, right? I'm thinking that Ghana may be an excellent option for the potential of environmental refugee migration, environmental-based migration, climate rising.
Oh, yes. Well,
yeah.
Very good point you made. Some scientists have projected that the Bahamas could possibly cease to exist in coming years with rising sea level.
Mm-hmm.
So it's advantageous to have a plan B, huh?
As an entrepreneur, here's what I'm thinking, right? And like as a legacy plan, if we decide that Ghana is a place that we want a formal relationship for in terms of maybe potential environmental migration, I want to be the entrepreneur that creates a trade route to ship between the Caribbean and Ghana and my Bahamian diasporic community, right? I want to see what is it that I can produce partially maybe or source here as raw material and take over to Ghana to sell or for further processing for a market.
All right. So as an entrepreneur here and an entrepreneur in Ghana, there are certain realities we have to face.
Yeah.
Primarily, the cost of labor in the Bahamas. We cannot compete with the cost of labor elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
A project that I did in Ghana that I continue to this day. My first business here was called Suncraft, where I produced leather goods.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I am producing leather goods now in Ghana. I could not produce leather goods competitively in the Bahamas, but I can do it in Ghana, again, because of the fluctuation, the currency.
So with a relationship with Ghana now, every drum at Junkanoo could be goatskin drum.
Yes.
Because I could source all my goatskin from Ghana. And in 10 years, I may be actually operating the farm that rears the goats for the goatskin.
We can source the drums. As a matter of fact, I do bring in drums. I have drums in my store now here in Nassau. We can source the drums out of Ghana. Also, mahogany.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Let me get back.
Yes, we are talking to the High Commissioner to the Republic of Ghana. High Commissioner, I'm just going blank with Wilson.
Andrew Wilson.
Just going completely blank. So what's Mr. Wilson's first name? We're talking about opportunities and entrepreneurship and capitalize on such. And we are going in detail of educational
opportunities.
What do you call that? Merchandising. So we're kind of excited about it. But we'll take a quick break and then we'll come back and go into more detail about opportunities for Bahamians. We'll be right back.
Episodes. That's right.
CFOW Talks has reached a huge milestone.
And we're celebrating in style.
From expert tips to groundbreaking economic insights, we've brought you the best in finance, investing, and so much more.
Now, we're turning up the volume for the next 100 episodes.
Don't miss the fun,
the knowledge,
and the power of great conversations.
Tune in every Monday at 6:30 p.m. to CFOW Talks, the podcast you can't afford to miss.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a STIRT today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Pender is carrying a new line of tile, the Sky Series of Porcelain. Comes in four colors, tones, shades. There's Sky Noir, Sky Azure, Sky Glance, and this one, Sky Gris. Sky Gris, as you'd imagine, gives you a smoky kind of feel. It's not heavy and depressing, but gives the area a chill feeling. The Sky series comes in two formats, 24 by 24 at 530 a square foot, 12 by 24 at 525 a square foot. I really like this series for big spaces, and being porcelain, they can take a lot of traffic. The Sky series at Pinder Tile.
Alpha Sounds Promotion presents Back to Love, an unforgettable evening of smooth R&B vibes and cherished memories. Join us on Saturday, February 15th for a spectacular all-white affair featuring live performances by soul sensations, Freddie Jackson.
Hey everybody, it's Freddie Jackson. I'm coming to Nassau, Bahamas, and we are looking forward to the night of love.
Also performing Regina Bell. Also featuring Bahamas' very own Essence Band, Back to Love. Saturday, February 15th. It's a spectacular all-white affair at the Nassau Cruise Port. Get tickets online. BahamasEtickets.com. Plantation Bar and Grill. Big Boys Cafe. And Tropics Bar and Grill. For more info, contact 822-6863.
And I hope to see you there. Make it like it.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, we have High Commissioner Andrew Wilson with us, who is the High Commissioner to the Republic of Ghana. Go ahead, Aaron.
From the text line, a number of people are asking for contact information so that they can inquire more and learn more about the potential programs that already exist and what could potentially exist.
All right. Do I want to give out my...
Do you have an email address?
Yes. I will give you my email address, Andrew A.D. Wilson at gmail.com.
All right. That's Andrew
A.D. Wilson at gmail.com.
Awesome.
Let me ask this question first, because I want to talk.
We have 5 minutes.
Minutes. Let me quick. I want to talk about access to amenities. If I go down to Ghana, will there be banks? Be able to transfer my child there to school? Will I be able to transfer her money there? Okay.
Good. Yes, there are banks. I transfer money there every month to pay my staff there. Okay. Not a problem.
All right. So, Tech says to ask you about the coffin builders in Ghana. And I guess, and that industry.
Yes. Like everywhere else. So, again, you're driving down the street and you see vendors on the side of the street selling coffins.
No, man.
Yeah. I mean, let's face it. Remember the reality of the economy that we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Those producers, they are producing upholstered furniture. They're building beds, bunk beds, etc., right on the side of the street.
Mm-hmm.
With probably a container or without the container. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, there are marketplaces for everything in Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
Any more from the text like that?
Another one, we don't have enough time. It says, Ghana's new leader is asking the U.S. military to leave the country. Is this a potential issue, or will it raise barriers? Or is this now, like we're saying, hey, we need to be able to manage our trade outside of global politics, right? Or we need to be able to protect our trade. So let us get as many partners as possible to ensure that we can maintain a consistent level of trade mm-hmm. in and out of the country.
Well, while I do not know that to be a fact or the source of that information, I can say that the reality on the ground in Ghana is that Ghana is surrounded by former French colonies.
Okay.
Who have almost universally asked France to leave.
Yeah.
The condition of the former French colonies in Ghana, in Africa, for the most part, are no different than the conditions of Haiti today.
Okay.
France is the world's largest exporter of timber. It has no forest. It has the world's third or fourth largest gold reserves.
No gold mines.
Mm-hmm. In many of these countries, the wealth that's under the feet of the citizens of these countries is among the greatest riches in the world. And the people are dirt poor, living off $1, $2 mm-hmm. a day. Mm-hmm. So the young people of Ghana, Africa has the world's youngest population. And those young people are determined to have a better life. And when they look around it, they see the relationship between their poverty and the colonial masters. Donald Trump once asked, how can you be walking on top of diamonds and still be dirt poor?
Do they do the Roman salute in Ghana?
Oh, I don't.
Okay, good stuff. Don't worry. That's just a question for somebody who wasn't listening. Just very last question. In your conceptualization of a new trade regime, and primarily Ghana, do free trade zones fit into that in any way? And that's a question.
So real quickly, I'm hearing the music. I Google AFTCA, the African Free Trade Continental Agreement. The Caribbean is recognized as the sixth region of Africa. It calls for the free movement of goods and products across the continent. The blueprint for this, what we're talking about, was first established by Marcus Garvey and the Black Star Line, who said that the key to our liberation is when African people begin doing business one with the other.
Well, Mr. Wilson, I don't know about Mr. Newry, but I invite you back on his show right now because that was the question that a texter had. They wanted you to talk about the relationship between Dr. Robert Love, Marcus Garvey, and Ghana.
Kwame Nkrumah Marcus Garvey was influenced by Dr. Kwame Nkrumah. Was the mentor to Kwame Nkrumah. Yeah. Dr. Robert Love was the mentor to Marcus Garvey.
And we must invite you back just to speak about that. This has been Guardian Radio AM, of course, at C.A. Newry. We had our guest today is High Commissioner Andrew Wilson, and he is the High Commissioner for the Republic of Ghana and the Ambassador Designate for the Republic of Togo. Have a wonderful day.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.